Well, I've been looking forward to this week and this series for quite some time. Eric would tell you I've talked about this series for about a year, so I'm excited about it. Number one, because I really like the Ten Commandments and learning about them and seeing how they apply to our life. But number two, they're so essential for us. So let me start off by just asking, who's ever tried to build something without instructions? Like maybe you had the instructions, but you said, I don't need the instructions, so I'll go for it. And sometimes it turns out all right, okay? But other times, you definitely have to have the instructions. Like, let's just say, okay, youth service project time. We want to build another chapel on the other side of the church. We want it to be identical to this chapel because we like this room so much. So we're going to build another one for the kids' ministry. And I bring all the lumber, all the supplies, all the hardware, and all the tools that you need. And I pile them up in a big pile behind the church. And I say, okay, you have everything you need back there. Go for it. Build the exact same room. How easy would that be? Maybe. Yeah, I could do it. No, I don't think that you could do it. I don't think that you could do it. So we would have to have instructions, right? Now, the Ten Commandments are like God's instructions to us. How much infinitely harder is it to live a Christ-honoring life from birth to death than it is to build a chapel? It's way, way harder to do. And so we need instructions. And the Ten Commandments are like God's instructions boiled down to 10 ideas. So they're essential. So I want to start off today by just taking you up to the point of where the Ten Commandments came from, why God gave them to who he gave them to, and the purpose behind it. And so it all starts with Moses. Moses is the central character in this story. So let's go back to the beginning. Moses was born and his mother put him in a basket and sent him down the Nile River and just set him free, released him as a baby. And that seems crazy, but it was because Pharaoh, the Egyptian ruler, had made a decree that all baby boys were to be killed because he was scared of this prophecy that said that a baby boy would rise up and set free the Israelite slaves. And so the Pharaoh had these slaves for over 300 years at this point, and he wanted to keep the slaves. A lot of scholars say at this point there were 3 million Hebrew people that were slaves under Pharaoh's rule. So Moses' mother didn't want her son to die. She'd rather give him up, and hopefully someone would find him and raise him rather than him die. So she set him down the river, and in fact, someone did find him. And in an ironic twist, it was Pharaoh's daughter who found Moses. She took him, raised him as her own. And so Moses grew up in the house of Pharaoh. And he grew up as a prince. He grew up in the lap of luxury with everything he wanted. But something, for 40 years living there, something didn't sit right. When he saw how the Hebrew people were being treated as slaves, he couldn't handle it. And one day when he was 40 years old, he saw an Egyptian man beating on a Hebrew slave, and he had had enough. Something in him decided that he couldn't take it any longer. And so he snapped, and he killed the Egyptian slave, and he fled for his life. He ran out to the wilderness, made a new home for himself, out in the wilderness for 40 years. He was in the wilderness. One day he was watching his sheep. He was 80 years old at this point, watching his sheep in the wilderness, and he comes across this bush that's on fire out in the middle of nowhere. And so he's looking at it, thinking, what is going on? And he notices that the bush isn't burning up. It's just on fire, but the fire is not doing anything. And then all of a sudden, the voice of God comes to him from the bush, and God speaks and says, Moses, I want you to go back to the Pharaoh that you are running, that you ran from, in fear for your life. I want you to go to that Pharaoh. I want you to tell him that he is going to let the Israelite slaves, the Hebrew people, go free. So tell the Pharaoh that you ran from to release 3 million of his slaves. And how crazy does that sound? I mean, Moses is like, God, there's no way I can do that. There's no way he's going to listen to me. He's an ordinary guy. I mean, Moses murdered someone. He's running from his life. He has a speech impediment. The Bible says that he can't speak very clearly, and that's one of Moses' excuses. How is the Pharaoh even going to hear me? What am I going to say? How can I convince him? But eventually God convinces Moses to go. So he goes back. And through miracles and through plagues being released on the Egyptian nation, you guys know the story of the Exodus, Pharaoh finally says, okay, go. So 3 million Hebrew people begin to leave Egypt. And the Egyptian soldiers start running after him because Pharaoh has changed his mind. And God parts the Red Sea so that they can walk through the Red Sea to freedom. And so they are wandering the wilderness now. Imagine it, 3 million people that have never had a home outside of Egypt are wandering the wilderness asking themselves, what's next? Where do we go? Where do we get food? We're hungry. Moses, we were better back there than we were here. We have nothing here. And so for 3 months, they're wandering. And some of them are probably dying, and they're trying to find what God has for them next. And so they, understandably, start grumbling. They start getting angry. They start turning their back on God. They start worshiping other gods. They start making these idols that they were worshiping to. And God says, okay, after 400 years of being slaves, they've lost their love for me. They've lost what it means to worship me and to follow me. And God desired so much for them to know him again and to be near to him. So he calls Moses up to the mountain, to the top of the mountain. And God literally, on tablets of stone, literally writes the 10 commands that he would have for his people, the Israelite nation. And so Moses brings these commands back down the mountain to the people. And in Exodus chapter 20, we see them. Verse 1, it says, then God spoke all these words, I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. Do not have any other gods besides me. Do not make an idol for yourself, whether in the shape of anything in heaven or above, or in the earth below, or in the waters under the earth. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, Yahweh, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children of the father's sins to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing faithful love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. Do not misuse the name of Yahweh, your God, or do not say the Lord's name in vain, because Yahweh will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You're to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahweh, your God. You must not do any work. You, your son or daughter, your male or female, your livestock, or the foreigner who is within your gates. For Yahweh made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh. Therefore, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. Honor your father and mother, so that you may have a long life in the land that Yahweh your God is giving you. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony against your neighbor. Do not covet your neighbor's house. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And that's the Ten Commandments. And so that's my introduction. The whole rest of the sermon is going to be way, way different than we normally do. It's story time here at Boiling Point. So here's what we're going to do. My goal is in the next 20 minutes to have you memorize all 10 commandments in order and be able to take them with you and have it stick in your head so that you will always remember them. And I'm confident that I can do that. Here's how it's going to work. For each commandment, I'm going to give you a rhyming word. So, for instance, one rhymes with gun, okay? And the story about a gun is going to remind you of the commandment. Okay, so here's how it works. One rhymes with gun. Once upon a time, there was a little village, and this little village was filled with weak and scared people because the neighboring village was getting ready to attack them the following morning. And this little village had no army, had no training. They didn't know what they were going to do, and these warriors from this army that had all sorts of weapons invaded their town. The only chance that they thought they might have was this giant gun. It was like a cannon that they kept up on top of the hill in their village. So they stayed up all night, the night before, and they went to this gun, and they bowed down to this gun, and they talked about how they could use this gun, and they prayed to this gun, and they worshipped this gun as if it was a god. And so the gun reminds you that you should have no other gods before the Lord. So we're going to have participation. I want to test you along the way, okay? So one rhymes with, and it reminds you, you should have no other gods, okay? Get it? Here we go. Here's two. two rhymes with shoe. Shoe. Do you guys like picking up? Are you kind of like the cleaner organizer? Do you like that stuff? So, there's always a few of you, but most of it. So would you admit that your room maybe is a little messy right now, even some of us? Yeah. Well, do you have anything that you've had like ever since you were a baby, like that stuffed animal or that doll or something that you've had for just a long, long time and it's worn and nasty and things have fallen off on it, but you still love it? Well, imagine you have a doll, and guys, you can picture like G.I. Joe if you want, all right? Imagine you have a doll that you've had for a long, long time. You've had it so long that it has like button eyes. You've seen those little stuffed dolls, and the button eyes have popped off because you've had it for so long. But you love this doll still, so you go home and you tell your mom, "I can't find my doll." And she says, "Well, have you looked in your room? And have you cleaned your room?" So you go, you sort of start wading through all the stuff on your floor, and you pick up a blanket that's on the floor and look underneath it, and there's a shirt. So you pick up the shirt, and underneath the shirt there's a old, wet, moldy towel. And you're like, "Where did this come from?" And you pick up the towel. And underneath the towel there's a shoe. And this shoe is nasty and stinky from being under the wet towel. So you pick it up, and you kind of hold it out here because it smells. But as you're holding it out, you see inside the shoe is your doll. It's been stuffed down in the shoe. You have no idea how it got there, but you pull it out and you're so excited you found your doll, even though it smells like a moldy shoe now. You still love it. And you look at it and you see that it has no eyes, and you remember the day that the buttons fell off. But that doesn't matter because it's your doll. It's a no-eyed doll, and you still love it even though it is a no-eyed doll. So the doll that was in the shoe reminds you that you should have no idols. Get it? No idols. So number two rhymes with? And the shoe reminds you that you should have no idols, okay? Idols are simply something that we make more important than God. Not necessarily something that we bow down to and worship, but anything that you place as more important than God and give preference to them, priority to them, or that thing, that's an idol. Three rhymes with tree. Tree. Imagine you're walking through the forest and there's trees all around. You hear the scampering of little feet and things, you know, creeping through the leaves and stuff on the forest floor. And all of a sudden you smell something that kind of stinks. And you turn around and right beside you is a skunk. Has anyone ever had a close encounter with a skunk? Anyone ever sprayed with a skunk? Maybe some, no? I never really have. But you can imagine what you do. You see the skunk raise its tail, and you're not waiting to find out if it's going to spray, are you? You are running as fast as you can, so you start sprinting away from that skunk. You're not looking back. You think you've lost him, so you finally turn back to see if he's gone. And he is gone, but as soon as you realize that, bam, you slam into a tree and fall to the ground. And so you're looking up at this tree, and it's the biggest tree you've ever seen. It's bigger than your arms can stretch out wide. And coming up from the ground and wrapping around the tree are all these vines and roots that come up the tree that look like giant veins popping out of an arm. You've seen like the muscle builder guys that just have veins popping out everywhere. It's like that reminds me of the veins on muscles. There's just these vines and roots going all the way up the tree. And as you look at the tree and the veins, you remember that you should not take the Lord's name in vain. So it's a different type of vein, right? This vein from the commandment means without a purpose, for no reason, kind of flippantly. So we shouldn't say God's name. We shouldn't just throw God's name out there for no reason. The only time we should speak the name of the Lord is in a way that honors him and brings attention and glory to him. So three rhymes with tree. And that reminds you, you should don't take God's name in vain. One rhymes with? And that reminds you, you should have no other gods. Good. Let's go to four. Four rhymes with door. Hope you all come back to church next week and come to church every week. This is the place where you worship God, you connect with other Christians. It's important to be in church. So imagine next Sunday, you come back to church, ready for week two of the Decalogue, and you come up to the front door of the church, and you notice that the door has been busted in. It's hanging off the hinges, and you walk inside, and Sunday morning, you're ready to worship with your friends and your family, and you see that there's been holes put in the walls, and all the chairs and furniture is thrown upside down, and someone has come in and just totally demolished the place. And you think, man, who would do that? And who would come in and dishonor God's church? Oh my gosh. How horrible. How horrible would this be? Who would dishonor God in this way? It's Sunday. This is supposed to be a day of worship. This is supposed to be a day of rest. It's the Sabbath day. And it reminds you that you should keep the Sabbath day holy. So four rhymes with door. And it reminds you. All right. All right. So let's go to five. We're halfway through when we get through five. Five rhymes with hive. Once upon a time, there was a little family of bees. There was Mama Bee and Papa Bee and Susie Bee and Johnny Bee. Now, Susie Bee was always so thoughtful and polite and kind and gentle, and she was obedient. She did anything that was ever asked of her by her parents. She was helpful, and she served, and she picked up after herself, and she was just the perfect little bee. But Johnny Bee, on the other hand, was a little rebellious. He didn't like to listen to his parents. In fact, he talked back a lot. When they asked him to do something, he would stomp away and not do it. He was kind of unkind, and he was unthoughtful, and he never helped out around the house. And so many times, Johnny Bee got sent to time out in his little bee room up in the beehive, and so he would sit there sulking in time out. Now, as mad as you guys might get when you get grounded, and when you think of Johnny Bee up in timeout, you don't really have to feel that bad for Johnny because he brought it on himself, right? And as you think of Johnny Bee in timeout for all the stuff that he's done, it reminds you that the fifth commandment is that you should honor your father and mother. So five rhymes with hive, and it reminds you you should. Good. All right. Three rhymes with?
Tree.
It reminds you you should? Good. Two rhymes with?
Tree.
It reminds you?
No idols.
Good.
We got four.
Yeah, I'm just bouncing around. So trying to keep you on guard so you never know what I'm going to say. Let's do six. This is my favorite one because it's so weird and yet weirdly funny. So six rhymes with sticks. Imagine you're walking downtown Omaha late at night with some friends. You're just taking in all the sights and sounds. There's still some cars going down the street, all the lights of the buildings. And you hear someone yell, and it's kind of coming from down a block and around a corner, it sounds like. So you run up to the next corner with your friends, and you look around the building, and there's a dark alleyway that goes in between two buildings. And it's way down at the other end of the alley, but you can kind of make out, and you kind of get an idea of what's happening. You hear a guy yelling for help. And you see that there is a man on the ground, and there is another man standing over him with these two giant sticks. And he's beating this guy on the ground with his sticks. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, we got to do something. I'm not going to run up there. I don't want to get hurt. So you pull out your cell phone, and you call 911, and you're just thinking, man, I hope they get here quick, because that man is going to kill him if they don't get here quick. And so six rhymes with sticks, and it reminds you that you should not murder. There you go. Six rhymes with?
Six.
It reminds you you should?
Murder.
Good. Four rhymes with?
Four.
It reminds you?
Sabbath
day holy. One rhymes with?
Good.
And it reminds you? Have no other gods. Good. Seven. Anyone like just excited about heaven that you just know it's going to be amazing? I don't know when I was your age, I don't know if I would have said that. I didn't really grasp the gravity of heaven, and you have your whole life to live ahead of you. It's like, you don't want to go to heaven now, you want to live your life, right? I remember feeling that way, but I feel so differently now, understanding just how amazing heaven is going to be. Now, the Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, that everyone that makes Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior is promised forever in heaven with him. There's going to be nothing more amazing than heaven. It's greater than we can even fathom. The Bible says there will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more fear, no more sin. It will be a perfect place, not just of singing and worshiping God, but I think of having all sorts of fun. There's going to be pleasure in heaven. There's going to be learning in heaven. There's going to be opportunities to serve and to grow, and it's going to be a community of believers unlike anything else. that this earth has to offer. But imagine you're walking through heaven one day and you see this old couple. I don't believe this is theologically accurate, but it has to work for my story, okay? You see this old couple and they're walking the streets of gold and they're holding hands and they're looking at each other and they're smiling and talking. And you think, wow, what a cool thing. I bet those people were married for their whole life on earth, and now they get to spend forever together in heaven. That is such a cool picture of a faithful marriage. And it reminds you that the seventh commandment is that you should not commit adultery. You should stay faithful in marriage. So seven rhymes with? And it reminds you that you should? Good. Six rhymes with? And it reminds you you should not? Five rhymes with? And it reminds you you should? You're so passionate about those answers. Eight rhymes with gate. All right. Who likes, anybody go to public pools a lot in the summer, or do you do like private pools? So some of each maybe. We don't go to public pool very often just because with five little kids, it's insane to try to go to a public pool. But we go every now and then. But imagine you are looking forward, especially with this weather, you can't wait for it to be summer. Are you more summer people? Who's a summer person? Like, you'd rather just switch to summer right now? Yeah, okay, most of you, yeah. So you're waiting for summer, you're waiting for the pool to open, and it's finally opening day at the public pool. You can't wait. You get up, and you got all your gear, and you head out the door, and you get to the pool. So excited to jump in. It's so hot. And you see that the gate that you have to walk through to get to the pool has kind of been broken into. And you're trying to figure out what's going on, and there's people standing around the edge of the pool, looking into the pool, and you can't really see what they're looking at until you get through that you go through that broken gate, and you get up to the pool, you look down, and you realize something terrible has happened. All the pool water has been stolen. Someone took all the water out of the pool. And not only that, but they've replaced the pool water with mashed potatoes. So that, for some of you, that just ruined your day, and for others of you, you're like, this is the best day of summer. But while you're thinking about all the work that someone must have done to take all that water and steal all the pool water, it reminds you that eight rhymes with gate and that the eighth commandment is do not steal. So eight rhymes with? And it reminds you, do not steal. All right, two more, then we'll recap. Nine rhymes with spine. There once was a really, really lazy boy. Anyone willing to admit along with me that you're really lazy? I am. That's the toughest thing I have to fight against is my passivity and laziness. But this boy was extra lazy. He would come home from school, drop his bag at the door, jump on the couch, and he would just watch TV and play video games all day long until it was supper time. He would eat, and then he'd go back to the couch and play until it was bedtime. And no matter how much his parents tried to get him off the couch, he wouldn't do anything. So eventually, he had to go to the doctor because his back hurt so bad. And the doctor looked him over and did an x-ray of his back, and the doctor started asking him questions, saying, son, how much exercise do you get? Are you very active? And the boy, being honest, said, not really. I just pretty much lie around all day playing video games. And the doctor said, okay, well, you're doing damage to your spine. It's beginning to get disformed because you're just lying around on the couch all day. You've got to get up. You've got to be active. You've got to play some sports. You've got to get some exercise. You have to stop lying around all day on the couch. And so nine rhymes with spine. And it reminds you, do not lie. Do not lie. So do not say things that are not true. A little different lie, but you get it. Four rhymes with?
Four.
And it reminds you? Good. That's always the toughest one, but you got it. Three rhymes with?
Three.
And it reminds you? Good. Nine rhymes with? And it reminds you? Good. Last one, and then we'll go through all of them together. 10 rhymes with hen. All right. So, once upon a time, there was a farmer named Old MacDonald, and on his farm, he had some hens. And one of these hens just could not lay any eggs. No matter what she did, she could not lay eggs. She tried everything. She tried squatting in the nest. She tried squatting on the roof. She tried squatting in the toilet. She's tried squatting everywhere, and nothing happened. No eggs. And what made it even worse was that she had a best friend. Her best friend hen just could lay eggs anytime, every time, even whether she meant to or not. She was just laying eggs all the time. She'd lay eggs while she was sitting. She'd lay eggs while she was sleeping. Eggs would pop out while she was walking down the little ramp of the hen house. And this first hen was like, I want to lay eggs like that. I wish I just could lay eggs like her. Why can't I? She was so jealous of her friend. And so it reminds you that you should not covet. So covet is kind of a word you don't use very often, but it's a word that means to desire something that's not yours, kind of an unhealthy desire. It's a word that kind of means jealous, something that someone else has been given by God or possesses or a characteristic that someone else has. You want that, but maybe it's not what God has given you or intends for you to have. That's covet. So 10 rhymes with, and it reminds you, you should not covet. Good. I think you got them, and we're going to test you here. So the first time through, we're going to go through all 10. I'll give you the rhyming word, just like we've been practicing, and then we'll go back through them all, and I'm just going to give you the number the second time through, and we won't say the rhyming word. You just make the leap in your head, okay? So here we go. 1 rhymes with, and it reminds you. 2 rhymes with, and it reminds you.
No idols.
No idols. Good. 3 rhymes with, and it reminds you. Yeah, the veins on the tree. 4 rhymes with, and it reminds you. Nice. 5 rhymes with, and it reminds you. Honor your mother and father. 6 rhymes with, and it reminds you. 7 rhymes with, and it reminds you. Good. 8 rhymes with, and it reminds you. Do not steal. 9 rhymes with, and it reminds you. Do not lie. 10 rhymes with, and it reminds you. Not covet. Good. I think you got them. And so now we can take the rhyming words away, and we have all 10 memorized. So I'm just going to give you the number, and then you tell me. So I'll say 1, and you say, have no other gods. Okay? 1.
No
2.
No idols.
3.
No
4.
Keep
5.
No
6. 7.
No, no, no.
8.
No, no, no.
9.
No, no, no.
And 10.
No, no, no.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm proud of you guys. Little stupid children's stories, and they do the trick. I've used this with my kids when they were like 4 and 5 years old, and now Aubrey's 9, and she still remembers them. So I'm praying that it sticks with you too. And not just so that you would know it and have information in your head and feel good that you memorized the Ten Commandments if you've never done that before. But the reason I do that is to set us up for the whole next 5 weeks. For 5 weeks, we're going to look at 2 commandments at a time and see how they really apply and come to life in 2016. But the reason we want to memorize them to begin with is so that we can do what Psalm says. David writes in the Psalms that we hide God's word in our heart so that we may what? Not sin against him. So the reason we memorize the Bible and we want to memorize Scripture is that it will help us not to sin against God. And so James 1:22 says it this way. Don't just listen to God's word. Do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. So everything we just did over the last 25 minutes won't matter at all if we go from this place and don't apply it. If it's just information, but it doesn't lead to transformation out there, then it was wasted time. We're just fooling ourselves by coming in here and feeling good. So it's more than just hearing. It's more than just memorizing. It's now going and living what we just talked about, those Ten Commandments. I'm telling you, if we just got the Ten Commandments right, if you just did those ten things that you just said, if you did them right every day, your relationships with everyone on earth, from parents to teachers to friends to siblings, everyone, your relationships would be perfect. And your relationship with God would be perfect and growing like you've never seen. It all boils down to those Ten Commandments. And really probably those first three. If you got the first three commandments right, your relationships would be perfect with God and with people. So, let me pray for us. We've got a few announcements, and we're excited about this series. Come on back next week and hear from Pastor Eric on Have No Other Gods and Have No Idols. And those are similar, but they are different, too. So let's hear about that next week. Let's pray, and we'll hear some announcements real quick. God, I thank you for this lesson. I pray that we would remember what the commandments are and how important they are, and that they weren't just written for Israelites thousands of years ago, but they were written for us and how they so apply. Help us to go from here and remember them and then live them out. Throughout our day, may things pop up that just kind of draw back a memory of one of the stories or draw back a memory of the commandment, and so that we would stay tethered to what the lessons are for us in your Ten Commandments and how essential they are. We love you and we want to worship you through our actions. Help us to obey the commandments this week. In Jesus' name, amen.